Very good. Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. As I mentioned last week, I took last Sunday, and we're going to take this Sunday and do some preparation in some of our preaching for what we're going to try to accomplish in the month of April. And if we're going to have these special Sundays and if we're going to see the Lord do what we want Him to do, then we got to prepare for that. Let me just say this. Anything that we try to do for the Lord has to be done on purpose. It doesn't just happen. And you ladies understand this. If you're going to get a certain a product turned out, you got to follow the right recipe. Amen? You don't just go to the kitchen and just, you know, open the cabinet and let a few things fall out into a bowl and boom, it happens. Amen? And Faith made me some amazing cupcakes this week. And they were really good, but for those cupcakes to turn out right, she had to follow the right recipe. Let me just say, when it comes to doing the things for the Lord, if we want God to bless us, if we want God to use us to do some great things for Him, we got to follow the Bible recipe. Amen. And so I want to show you some things and teach you some things this morning. Matthew chapter 17. If you find your place, if you'll stand with me, and as we read this story here together, we're going to begin reading in verse 14. The Scripture says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic." I can relate to that, amen? And just kidding, all right? "For he's a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you into this service. And I pray that you'd be very active in our midst this morning. And I pray that you'd work on the hearts of your people. God, teach us some things. God, help us to understand what it means to do some things for you, God, and some things that are our responsibilities. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach for a few moments this morning on this subject, how to accomplish a great work for God. How to accomplish a great work for God. Now, as we read our story here this morning, there was a man who had a son vexed by a devil. And this child had been vexed from just a very young of age. And the Bible says that this devil here tormented this young man. He falls into the fire, into the water. And this family was in turmoil. And aren't you glad, though, that this man had enough sense to get to where he needed to? He tried to get to Jesus. Amen. Let me just say, I'm not preaching on this morning, but any problem you have, you can take it to the Savior and He'll help you with it. All right. And so so he came and he first of all encountered the disciples, and he tried to ask the disciples, "Hey, help me out here. Let's get this devil out of my son." But the disciples couldn't do it. So finally, they called Jesus down, and Jesus came, and Jesus delivered the devil, cast the devil out. And then the disciples come to Jesus and he says, "What happened here? How come we couldn't get this devil cast out?" And Jesus said unto him, and here's the two words I want to look at, "this kind. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And those two words, "this kind," it represents a great spiritual work that needs to be done. It's talking about a great work for the Lord, something, a goal that's set, something that needs to happen that for God, a work that we can do for Him. That's what that represents. And as we look ahead toward our spring program and the five special Sundays, listen, folks, this is a special month in the life of our church. This is a month that we're setting aside to try to spend extra time in accomplishing great things for the Lord. Amen? By the way, what are those great things we're trying to accomplish? All right? Let's define that for a minute. I mean, are we just trying to have, you know, let's just try to have a certain amount of people here? What are we trying to do? Well, let me say this. What we're trying to do is impact people for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do. By the way, that's a worthy goal to try to accomplish. Amen? Yes, we want to try to get more people here who is not normally here. We're we're praying for folks to be saved. We're praying for folks to grow in the Lord. I'm praying that folks will step out on faith a little bit and stretch themselves spiritually and invite people and talk to people that maybe you wouldn't normally do, all right? And so, yes, we're investing in a spiritual work. Now, in order for that spiritual work to happen, some things have to be present. And I want to look at this the story here this morning that about Jesus and the disciples and give you some things that if we want to accomplish a great spiritual work for the Lord, this is what must be present in our lives, okay? And these are the things that I preach on purpose a couple weeks ahead of time so that you can take this message and take it home with you and ask the Lord to help you in these areas, all right? So let's start, first of all, what Jesus said in verse 17. All right, when the disciples came and said, why couldn't we cast him out? Then Jesus answered and said, here's the first thing, oh, faithless. Okay, so the first component has to be faith. All right, that's the first component. Now, what's that word faithless mean? Well, I looked it up and it means this, believing, but it means believing not as an infidel or an unbeliever would. That's what that means. And by the way, Jesus here is talking to his disciples. He's talking to other Christians. He's talking to those that ought to know what it means to have faith. But yet when it come to doing this great work for the Lord, they were believing like the unbelievers did. That's the lack of faith that they had. What's the word faith mean? There's many different definitions of faith people could give, but I like this definition. Faith means simply this, believing God and taking him at his word enough to obey what he says. That's what faith means. It just simply means that you believe God and what he says in the Bible, and you believe it enough to obey it. Okay? Now listen, folks, I'm just saying, the number one component we got to have when it comes to doing a great work for God is faith. The Bible says in James chapter 2, by the way, if you read James, James was written to Christians. And sometimes a lot of false doctrine comes out of that book because people take verses out of context and they try to make it that you have to have works in order to be saved. And that's where this faith plus works based salvation comes from. But that's not the context of the book. The context of the book is written to Christians. And here's what James said to those Christians there. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. Listen, you say you have faith, all right, and you throw that word around. By the way, we hear that word thrown around a lot in our society, don't we? Faith this, faith that. But let me tell you what the Bible says faith is, that really you don't have much faith if it's not backed up by action. Let me give you a great illustration. There's a story one day of a man who stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he pushed a wheelbarrow across that tightrope across Niagara Falls. And so he walked all the way across and he walked all the way back. Of course, there was a huge audience there watching him. And when he got back, one man was just in total awe. He's like, I cannot believe that you did that. And the man looked at him and said, do you believe that I can push a wheelbarrow across that tightrope? He says, absolutely I believe. I just saw you do it. Then he says, I'll tell you what, if you really believe, get in the wheelbarrow. Right? Isn't that kind of what faith really is? It's one thing to say we believe. It's one thing to, you know, talk about it. But it's another thing to live it. Amen? If we truly have faith that God can and do something for us in the five Sundays in April, especially on April 29th as we try to break 100, then you know what we're going to have to do, church? We're going to have to put our faith to action and do what needs to be done in order for God to see his blessing upon us. Amen? By the way, if you read this here, when Jesus talked about faith, notice what how he talks about faith in verse 20. How much faith, by the way, do you got to have? Okay? How much faith? Well, look what Jesus says. If ye have faith, notice what it says, as a grain of mustard seed. All right, so how much faith? I mean, a truckload, a bowl full, a cup full? No, you know what Jesus says? As a grain of a mustard seed. That's what you got to have. Well, how big's a mustard seed? Well, I'm glad you're wondering because I got some here with me today. All right, this right here, all right, is a mustard seed. You can barely see it. Look how tiny that thing is. I mean, these things are so small. I was going to have the boys hand them out to everybody, but there'd be mustard seed everywhere, all right? Look how tiny these things are. Barely can even see it. I could probably fit 20 of them on a fingernail. That's how small this thing is. And Jesus said, that's all you got to have, that much faith. Okay, listen, folks, that's not very much faith. Okay, but you got to have that much faith and accompany that faith by action in order to please God. Let me show you another verse here. Flip in your Bible just a couple chapters over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Look at verse 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do what is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. That's called mountain moving faith. Okay? And by the way, you know what? Sometimes, and I know physically, we're not going to go out to one of the mountains and say, you know, pick yourself up and go cast yourself into the sea. But you know what I found out in dealing with people? Sometimes trying to get people to respond to the Lord, trying to work with people, trying to get people to grow spiritually, that's like moving a mountain. You know why? Because we as human beings are awful stubborn, aren't we? I mean, you know what? Why does it seem like the devil can use any old little excuse here and there to get us from doing what God wants us to do? I mean, it's amazing. It literally is like trying to move mountains to try to sometimes encourage people to do things for the Lord. Amen? But Jesus said, listen, if ye will have faith, and then verse 22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Amen? Now, believing and receiving is not, you know, clicking your heels together and waiting for God to magically make something appear out of thin air. That's not what it is. Believing is having a biblical goal that you want to achieve and applying all the Bible principles to achieve that goal, and then have faith in God for Him to do what He said He would do. All right? That is what faith in action is, okay? It's taking what God says and say, God, you said this in your word. I'm going to believe what you say, and then I'm going to move myself to action and trust you to do what you said you would do. Amen? That is faith. And let me just say, if we're going to accomplish a great work for God, it's going to take faith. Amen? Listen to me, church. Do you believe? Do you really believe? Do you have faith that if you will put yourself out there and attempt to do some of these things, to work on trying to get folks here and reach people for the Lord, that God would really use you to do it? Well, I just don't think God could use me. You know how many times I hear people say that? I just don't think God. I'm a nobody. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I don't think God could use you. Let me tell you something. He could use you. Okay? Some of you who went on a trip with us this week, My brother-in-law came along, my wife's brother, Heath, and he was a blessing, by the way, amen? And my brother-in-law is a perfect example of God taking someone that no one thought they could use and use him, okay? My brother-in-law was a veteran, and he was disabled, and for about 10 years, he hit the bottom of the bottom. Okay? And I'm not telling you things he wouldn't willingly tell of himself, okay? But he hit the bottom of the bottom. I mean, he was in and out of jail. He'd almost died 5 times from a drug overdose. I mean, he was in a very bad way. But you know what? He decided, you know what? I'm going to allow God to use me, and I'm going to pick myself up with the Lord's help and try to do something for God. And now you know what? The Lord is using him to reach many other people. Amen? Now listen, if God can use him, he can use you. Okay, but you know what it takes? It takes faith and it takes belief. All right? Now, let's look at the next thing it takes here. Back to our text in Matthew chapter 17. Notice what else Jesus said here, okay, in verse 17. He said, O faithless, and look at this next phrase, perverse generation. Okay? That word perverse, it means distorted. It means corrupt. Let me tell you what it takes in order for God to use you to do great spiritual work. It takes spiritual cleanliness. Spiritual cleanliness. Now, I'm going to spend just a few minutes on this and show you exactly what this means. Okay, you don't have to turn there. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says this, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, here it is, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You know what that means? Okay? That means this. As Christians, okay, we've got to allow God to clean us up and be willing to get rid of any unconfessed sin in our life. Okay, I'm going to show you how this works. I'm going to give you an illustration here, okay? We're going to let this cup represent our Christian life, okay? And when you get saved, all right, whenever that is, okay, the Holy Spirit of God comes and He lives in your life. All right, now, of course, we know God's perfect and God's clean, God's pure. And so the Holy Spirit of God is living in us, amen? Okay? Now, here's what happens. throughout your Christian life, as you live life, as you, just do the things you do, we sin. Okay, we do things we shouldn't do. Okay, maybe we tell a lie. Okay, and our clearness isn't quite as clear as it used to be. Maybe we cheat. Okay, maybe we gossip. Maybe we don't do what God wants to do. Maybe we lust. We have pride. On and on the list could go. Okay, and that what should have been clean and right and pure then becomes they get a little distorted. Okay, now let me just say this. All right, when we as Christians find ourselves like this, okay, you don't need to get saved again. All right. The Bible says that when you get saved, you get born again. How many times have you have to be born in this life? You get once, right? All right. I mean, if you mess up and you do something you shouldn't do in life, I mean, you don't go climb back in your mother's womb and get reborn. Now I got a fresh start. That's not the way it works, okay? All right. So here's what happens as Christians. All right. We get sin in our life. Let me tell you one thing that God can't use, a dirty vessel. God wants to use your life to do things for other people. God wants to use you to accomplish a great spiritual work. But listen, if you're dirty, it's hard for God to use you. You got to be clean. You got to be pure. That's why the Bible says that you need to cleanse yourself. All right? So what do you do with this stuff right here? I mean, here, trust me, folks. I know how this works. Okay? I mean, you know what happens? You let things build up, and then after a while you're like, why even try? Why is it even worth it? You know, forget going to church. Forget trying to be what God wants me to be. I just can't seem to do it. What do you do? Well, let me tell you what you do, all right? The Bible says, tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a Christian, when you get junk in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to confess it to the Lord. Lord, you know what? I'm sorry, God. I told a lie. Lord, I had this bad thought, God. I did things I shouldn't do. And you know what happens when you confess it to God? You know what He does? He forgives you of it. He forgives you of it. So you know what that means? It means, God, look, I did this. I did that, Lord. I'm sorry for what I did. Lord, I'm not the person I ought to be, God. You know what God says? I forgive you. He cleanses it. He takes it away. And then what happens is, once you get nice and clean and you get confessed up, then you know what? You're clean and pure again. And you know what? As a Christian life, listen, this is something that has to happen on a daily basis. Cleansing. Getting right. Staying clean with the Lord. Amen? I mean, folks, listen, okay? Y'all are hard workers in here. And you go to work and you work hard and you come home and you know what? You don't smell real good, do you? Okay? I mean, when I come home from work and I want to give my wife a kiss, she's like, ew, go take a shower. I'm like, baby, what's wrong? That's a smell of money, all right? But no, she's like, go take a shower before you hug me and before you kiss me. I don't want to snuggle with you when you stink. Well, duh, all right? So you know what? I go scrub up, I get clean, I put the deodorant on, and I'm smelling better, all right? Listen, that just makes sense in life, doesn't it? If you don't take a daily, if you don't cleanse your body daily, then you know what happens? You begin to stink. Well, you know what I'm afraid is a lot of Christians, we stink spiritually. Because our lives, we allow a bunch of junk to fill up in our lives. We allow this sin to get in our life. And I'm just telling you, folks, if you want God to use you, you have to be clean. And that's what Jesus said there, you wicked and perverse generation. I want to show you something here real quick. Go to Psalms chapter 51. This is a great illustration of what it means to ask the Lord to forgive you. Of course, if you understand this chapter, this was written after King David committed his sin with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and then had Bathsheba's husband murdered to cover up his sin. Okay? And when he finally came around, and he finally, the preacher came and confronted him with it, here's the conversation that happened here. David decided, okay, Lord, you know what? I've hung on to this thing long enough. I'm going to confess this stuff. I'm going to get this thing right. Now look at this here, okay? And we won't read the whole chapter, but this is a good chapter you ought to read sometime. It says this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies, and blot out my transgression. Listen to this terminology. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then look down at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. What's David doing here? He's going to God and he's asking God to clean him, to forgive him of his sin. Now, I want you to notice something here, all right? Once David gets clean, look at verse 13, Okay? Notice the first word of verse 13. Notice what it says. Then. Okay? That means after I get clean, then, all right, I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And again, we see that word then mentioned again in verse 19. You know what that means? It means this. In order for God to use King David the way he needed to be used, he had to be clean. Let me say this, church. Listen, if we want God to use us to do a great spiritual work, you got to be clean spiritually. And so what I'm asking you to do is what I'm going to be doing personally myself, and I do this on a regular basis. Ask the Lord to, in the next couple weeks as we're leading up to our five special Sundays, ask God to reveal things in your life that shouldn't been there, shouldn't be there, and get them right with Him. Amen? I'm not asking you to come to me and confess your sin to me. All right? I'm not your priest. All right? Jesus is your priest. Take it to Him. Amen? And just talk to Him about it. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to forgive you. Amen? So listen, if we're going to accomplish a great work for the Lord, first of all, it takes faith. Second of all, it takes spiritual cleanness. And then back to our text in Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by, here's the first thing, prayer. Prayer. All right, listen, folks, if we want to see God do something great, we have to pray. And you know what I want us to do? And we're going to do this. We are going to spend some extra time praying and asking God to do something great. Okay? Now, I would like for you to do this on an individual level. Maybe you can make a list of people that you'd like to see invite. Maybe people you know that aren't saved you'd like to see get saved. And make a list of those people. Begin to pray for them. But then we're going to take it a step further. We're going to, starting on the first Saturday of April. Okay? So that would be April, I believe it's April the 7th. Okay? On a Saturday night. We're going to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock. And for every Saturday night in April, we're going to have a corporate prayer meeting, okay? I want the men to come, the ladies to come, the kids to come, and we're just going to spend a little bit of time corporately praying and asking God to allow us to see some great things happen on our special Sundays, okay? Now, here's the thing. Let me tell you why we do that. Because there's something about corporate prayer that gets God's attention. It's called one place, with one accord, with one request. Now, when we come here to pray at the church on Saturday night, you know what? We're not going to come here to pray for our own personal prayer request. We're not coming here to pray for people that are sick. We're not coming here to pray for, you know, other things except that will relate directly to our special Sundays. That's what we're going to come here and pray for, all right? We're going to pray that God will allow us to reach people. We're going to, and I'll have a list made up for you, all right? Some specific things we can pray about. And listen, we got to let God know we're serious about Him doing a great spiritual work. Amen? By the way, why are we doing this? Are we doing it for our benefit or for His benefit? Amen? By the way, that's faith, and that's kind of what I talked about earlier, faith in action. Amen? So Jesus said, you got to pray. I don't have time to teach the whole context of it, but if you go to Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talks about the power of united prayer. He says, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If two of you shall agree as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And that famous verse we all quote, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. You know what that's talking about? Prayer. United prayer. And Jesus said, listen, you get together and you start praying. You have the same request. You're in the same place and you're all in one accord. I'm telling you, I'll honor that prayer. Amen? So it takes prayer, the power of prayer. I've given you this formula before, but it's such an important thing. As Christians, we need to pray like everything depends upon God and then work like everything depends upon us. Amen? It takes prayer, and we'll talk about work in just a minute. But listen, folks, it starts with prayer. We got to pray. Amen? And I want to challenge you in your Christian life. If you don't know what it means to pray and you've never really spent time praying before, let me challenge you. Won't you just try it? Amen? Just try it. Listen, you don't have to, you know, again, I think sometimes religion, you know, tries to overcomplicate the most basic things of the Christian life, like prayer. Let me tell you what prayer, you know what the word pray means? It means to ask. That's all it means. It means that you, as a human being, have a communication where you ask and talk to God about things. That's what it means. And despite what this world tries to say, despite what these idiots on TV like The View try to say, you don't have a mental illness if you talk to God. Amen? All right? It's a bunch of garbage, a bunch of hogwash. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, that's how we communicate with God, is through prayer. Amen? And we need to start doing more of it. Because let me tell you something. The devil knows that he cannot stop a church who knows how to pray. He knows he can't stop a Christian who knows how to pray. That's why it's so hard to pray. You know why? It's not a priority in our life. We don't do it. We don't take the time to do it. You know, we pray these little lay me down to sleep prayers, and we mutter this little thing before we eat prayer, and we think that's a prayer life. That's not praying. Okay? Listen, we got to get a hold of God. Amen? Prayer, it's such an important thing. And I've taught about prayer before, and I'm not going to go in-depth teaching about it this morning, but I'm just saying, listen, I need you praying. Even if you don't think you know how, just do it. Amen? Let me just tell you quickly how I pray. Okay? Number one, I have a time and a place to pray. If you don't have a time and a place, you won't do it. You know what that means, having a time and place? It's a priority. I mean, if I were to ask you, where do you sleep at? You'd tell me. Okay? I go here. This is my room. This is approximately what time you go to sleep. You know. Listen, the things in life that are important to us, we make time for. Okay? You got to make time. You got to have a time. You got to have a place where you pray. And then when you pray, listen, it's not, you know, you don't have to, you know, sit in the lotus position and, burn candles. Oh, God. Oh, dear God. That's not praying. All right? Listen, you know what it is? It's talking to Him. Hey, why don't you talk to Him like He's your friend? Lord, here's how I start my conversation. Lord, good to talk to you this morning. Thanks for letting me get out of bed this morning. Thanks for giving me a mind to think with, eyes to see with, ears to hear with. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to walk this morning, God. Thank you for that, Lord. It's just good to be able to communicate with you this morning. I talk to Him like He's my friend. Okay? That's what prayer is, folks. Just talk to Him. Amen? And so we got to pray. And then look at the next thing Jesus says here. And I'll be honest with you. This is not my favorite. In fact, out of everything, this is my least favorite thing that Jesus says. But look what He says in verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer, and look at that next word, and fasting. Okay? Now, I'll be honest with you. This is hard for me. This is not my strong point. This is my weak point. You know why? Because I like to eat. That's why. Amen? All right? But you know what Jesus is trying to get us to see here? That there's some things in life that are so important, it's worth giving up some things that your flesh needs for a temporary time to see God do something great. That's what He's saying. Now, I'll be honest with you, fasting's hard, especially in America, because Americans, we don't live to eat. We don't eat to live, we live to eat. Okay? And you know what? I'm thankful God has blessed us, is bountiful to us. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there's come certain times in life where we need to put some things aside so that we can let God know how serious we are about Him doing something great. Okay? Let me just throw it out there. Okay? Let me tell you what I'm asking for you to do. I'm asking for you in the month of April to maybe spend a little bit of time fasting. Let me tell you how I do it, okay? I'll be honest with you, I'm very active, I'm very busy, okay? I personally, I can't really fast like 3 or 4 days at a time. I'm not asking you to do that. Let me tell you a good way to do it. A lot of times, I'll just fast from supper to supper, okay? I'll eat my supper meal one night, I skip breakfast, I skip lunch, and I'll eat supper the next night. That's a good way to do it, okay? And when I don't eat, okay, I'm not just not eating. I'm taking the time that I would normally eat and spending some time in prayer. That's what fasting's about. And you pray, God, listen, God, you said this kind cometh out by prayer and fasting. Lord, I'm here today because that's what the Bible says. And I want to spend some time, instead of eating what my body needs, letting you know I want to see you do something great, something spiritual. Let me tell you something. The art of fasting is almost lost in today's Christianity. Even mature Christians hardly ever fast. Now listen, it's not something you do all the time. You do it for a specific reason, and you do it for something when you're trying to really get God's attention. All right, I don't fast all the time, but from time to time, God will speak to my heart and say, you need to fast about something, and I will. Okay? Listen to me, folks. Why do we even do that? Is it worth it? I mean, why should I spend time not eating just so we can have a certain number at church? Listen, it's not about just a certain number. It's about reaching people for Jesus Christ. Amen? It's about saying, God, I want to see you do something great, God. I want to see you do something unusual. And Lord, you got to know I'm serious about it. Listen, if we're not serious about it, I'm just going to say this. Not a whole lot of things are going to happen. Amen? Now, I'm not saying God couldn't do some things, and He will do some things. But if we're asking Him to do something above and beyond, we've got to go above and beyond. By the way, athletes understand this. The Olympics just got over with. And I'm telling you, those athletes that went to the Olympics, they didn't start training a week ahead of time. They've spent years preparing themselves for those events. Now listen, as Christians, we got to prepare, amen? So Jesus says, if you want to do something great, faith, all right, cleanliness, prayer, fasting, and let me show you something else here, spiritual maturity, okay, spiritual maturity. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter, and I'm not going to read it all, okay, but the rest of this chapter, you know what you find out here? You find the story of the disciples and Jesus getting audited, okay, is what you find. You find that people are starting to come up to Jesus in the midst of him doing all these great things, coming to his disciples. Do you and your master pay tribute? When have you paid your taxes last? Okay, and basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the disciples distracted from what Jesus wants them to do. Okay, now here's the thing. In the process of trying to do a spiritual work for the Lord, let me tell you what the devil's going to do. He's going to have a plan to try and stop it. Okay? Any plan we make to do something for God, the devil's there to try to stop that plan. By the way, why shouldn't he try? I mean, aren't we in a battle? I mean, you're not in a battle unless you have an enemy. And if we're trying to do things the devil doesn't like, don't think for one second he's not going to try to stop us from doing a great work for the Lord. He will try. Let me guarantee you what's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen because I know how the devil works, all right? In the next few weeks, as we're leading up to our special days, and in through the month of April, about for the next 5 or 6 weeks, there's going to be things that will be happening to you that have never happened to you before. The devil's going to try to come and discourage you. He's going to try to get you mad at somebody. He's going to try to get somebody mad at you. He's going to try to orchestrate these circumstances in your life to get you distracted from being able to participate in a great work for God. I'm telling you, he'll do it. Mark my word. In fact, if we had a testimony time, once this thing's over with, once we get past the month of April, and I would say, all right, somebody, raise your hand and tell me what the devil tried to do to stop you. Almost every single hand would be up in this room because that's how he works. Now listen, in order to not get distracted by those things, let me tell you what it takes. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Listen, folks, you've got to learn to react spiritually toward things. Okay? You can't just freak out when certain things happen. I mean, if somebody hurts your feelings, you can't just quit on God. Okay? That's what the devil wants you to do. Okay? You can't do that. Amen? You got to keep going. You got to say, okay, I'm going to have a spiritual maturity enough to know what the devil's trying to do. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. You know what that means? That means we're smart enough to figure out what he's trying to do to us. Amen? Don't be like those Marriott puppets, okay? You know the ones that are on a string, and every time the puppet master pulls the string, the leg, the hand goes, the head goes. Don't let the devil pull your strings. Don't be that way as a Christian. Be spiritually mature, amen? All right? Because I'm telling you, those types of things are going to happen, and if you want God to use you in a great way, you got to be mature about it, all right? Spiritually mature. And let me give you the last thing this morning. What else is this going to take in order for us to see a great work for God? You ready? It's going to take work. It's going to take work, all right? Matthew chapter 9, here's what Jesus said. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but listen to this, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Let me tell you what it's going to take, church. It's going to take labor, okay? And let me just say this, okay? Working for God is worth it. It's worth it. I mean, think about it. Things in life that you don't really have to labor for, what much value really are they? Okay, I'm not saying from time to time you may not get something free. I'm not saying from time to time you might not, you know, come across something that just falls in your lap. But most things in life, you got to work to obtain. And I'm just telling you, folks, if we're going to have allow the Lord to use us to do a great spiritual work, especially in these next five to six weeks, especially on the last day when we're trying to get 100, let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take every single one of us working. Working for the Lord, amen? Now listen, we work to go get our paycheck. We work for other things in life. Why would we not want to invest our time in the things of the Lord, amen? By the way, guess who the laborers are going to be in the spiritual work for this community? You know where they're going to be? I'm looking at them, amen? Where are the laborers? Okay? Listen, folks, if you think we can just show up here on April 29th and 100 people are going to walk through that door, ain't the way it's going to work. It's just not. I mean, listen, we gotta put time in. We got to make visits. We got to call. We got to invite. I mean, we got to put ourselves out there, do some things maybe we would normally not be comfortable doing in order to see God do something great, amen? It's got to work. We got to work for it. Okay, I just ordered yesterday the invitation cards. And I've ordered these, and we've had them but for other special days we've had. And but I've ordered these. They're very nice. They're professionally printed. And what I'm asking you to do is this. First of all, when we get these here, they ought to be here next week. When we get these here, I want you to take some yourself and use them to invite people. Okay? I want you to take them to work with you. I want you to take them to family members who don't normally come. And I want you to maybe take them to friends, neighbors, coworkers. I want you to use them individually to try to invite people. Just say to them, hey, we're having a special day at our church on this particular Sunday. And to show them, it's got the information on the cards. Would you please come and be my guest? Just ask them, folks. Now, you know what I found out in life? Now, I understand sometimes people will, you know, tell you one thing and do something else, right? You ever been there, done that? You know, I found out people just look in your face and lie to you, amen? And they will. That's just the way it works, I guess. All right? Especially when it comes to church and the things of the Lord. I couldn't tell you how many times I've been out door knocking, start talking to people. Oh, we'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there tomorrow. I just one particular people I talked to one time, started talking to them about the church. Oh, they're all excited about it. The guy picks up the phone. He's like, I'm calling my mom and dad. He calls me and says, hey, we're going to church tomorrow. Click. He's like, my mom and dad will be here tomorrow too. Think they ever can? All right, now I understand things happen. I get that, okay? But here's the thing, all right? It takes work, all right? We got to get out there. We got to labor. So I'm asking you individually invite people. And then you know what I'm asking you to do? Help us corporately invite people. How are we going to do that? Every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., starting on the week before, so March the 31st, okay? Well, we do this every Saturday anyway, but I'm especially asking all of you to help me, okay? Starting March 31st, 10 a.m., I want you to meet me here at the church, and we're going to go out, and we're going to try to get a card on every door in Princeton, okay? I'd like to do that. And if we can cover Princeton in that amount of time, then we're going to cover some other communities. I've got a church coming in, a pastor friend of mine, who his church wants to come and help, because they like helping other churches, and he's going to come in on the Sunday before our big day, or the week before our big day, on a Saturday, and he's going to bring people from his church, it's a church from Bloomington, and they're going to come down and help us get these information cards out, okay? I'm going to be running an ad in the paper about it, okay? But let me tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take work, amen? Now listen, if all of us here would get involved, we could get the job done. I promise you we could. But if there's only four or five or six of us do it, it's going to require a lot more effort, okay? By the way, when we go out and do this, I'm not asking you to be an expert. If you can walk and you can put something on someone's door, you can do it. I'm not even asking some of you to even knock on a door. I'm just asking you to help me get these cards on the doors in our community. Now, folks, listen, all of us can put some type of effort in. All of us can. And by the way, you know what I found out in the Christian life, Brother Billy? I'm so surprised at how much little effort we do and God blesses. I mean, listen, folks, come on. How much faith? How much faith? Come on, folks. Can't we give God this? Can't we give God this? After all, what did He do for us? He died for us, folks. He left heaven for us. He was beaten for us. He was mocked for us. He was spit upon for us. His beard was plucked for us. And we can't give Him this? God help us as Christians. By the way, let me tell you why it's worth it. Amen? It's worth it because, first of all, you can help reach other people. By the way, when you get to heaven one of these days, okay, by the way, I'm glad I'm going to get to go. I'm going to be there. I'm going to go there. But I don't want to show up empty-handed. You know what I want? Seriously, when I get to heaven one of these days, and I don't know how God's going to do it. All I know is the Bible talks about the rewards based upon our labor. I want to be able to look behind me and see all the people God used me to help get there. You don't want to show up empty-handed, folks. I've had so many people say, as long as I go to heaven, I'm good. As long as I have my fire insurance, I'm good. I'm going to enjoy it. Let me just say this. You know what? You're going to get there, all right, but you're not going to enjoy it as much. Because the Bible talks about reward, losing reward, gaining reward, all based upon our labor as Christians. Okay? You want to be involved in reaching people. So let me tell you why it's important. Because you can help reach other people. That's why. You can help influence people for eternity. Listen, that's what this thing's about, by the way, is other people. This isn't about us. This isn't about so we can get more money in the offering plate. This is not so we can just build a new building. That's not what this is about. This is about reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Amen? By the way, aren't you glad somebody reached you? Aren't you glad someone took the time to tell you about it? So you know what? It's our responsibility. Amen? And so you know what I'm going to do as a pastor? I'm going to give you opportunity. I'm going to help you. Now listen, I'm not going to make you. Okay? You know what? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, looked at his disciples, said, "Come, follow me." He took off and he walked the other direction. You know what you find out? You don't find Jesus trying to baby talk the disciples into following. You don't see Jesus trying to baby him and you know, pamper him. "Oh, please, guys, come and help me." That's not what you see. You know what he said? He said, "Follow me." Then he turned around and he went a direction. And you know what? Listen, whether anybody comes with me or not, I'm going a direction. Okay? But I'm just saying we can accomplish a lot more if we'll work together. Amen? So let's get involved. All right? I'm excited about what God's going to do. Wouldn't it be cool to see, we get through April, May, and we look back, and there is somebody sitting beside you in church the next Sunday that you help reach? There's nothing like that feeling as a Christian, by the way. Somebody that you had an influence in reaching is here because of something you did. Amen? There's nothing like that. Now listen, we all can do it. Okay? So let's get involved and let's see God use us to do a great work for Him. I promise you, if you allow God to use you, you won't regret it. Okay? No regrets. I mean, you get to heaven one of these days, you're not going to say, "Golly gee, Lord, I wish I wouldn't have done so much for you. Lord, I wish I would have stayed home and done my own thing instead of coming and trying to help and get people at church. God, I just gave you too much." You think anybody's going to say that? No, but I tell you what, there is going to be a lot of, "Oh Lord, God, if I would have thought about it more, God, if I would have known, I would have given you more, God." Well, guess what? You know. So let's do it, amen? Let's do it. Let's work together and let's see God use us to accomplish a great work for Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning.